So we're talking about your enemy, the devil. And this can be a difficult scripture to look at, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, because no one likes talking about the devil. But we have an enemy, as this text speaks to us, so we'll be looking at in just a moment. And it isn't long before Christian encounters his enemy, the devil. And I'm taking that statement from the well-known classic written by John Bunyan. Some of you have read the story of Pilgrim's Progress. Classic. And it's a story that depicts this man, Christian, who found Christ, who comes to Christ, and then begins his walk with the Lord. And in that journey, he encounters many things. And one of those things that he encounters is an attack by the devil. An attack by the devil. And it's depicted in the story, and I love reading it, as I have done so for years. Look at this book every now and then. I'll pick it up again and read it. But it's a nice, you know, good imagery of how it is that we as Christians are attacked by the devil. And Christian is minding his own business. And he's walking with the Lord. And then he's attacked. And the name that he uses for the devil in this attack is Apollyon. Anybody remember what Apollyon means? Destroyer. In the Greek, it's translated as destroyer. And he uses that name because when the devil attacks us, he's attacking us, as I said last week, he plays for keeps. And he is coming, his attacks are designed to destroy our lives. And in this story here, the devil, he encounters the devil and he begins fighting, and I like what he says. He says, and in this fight, no man can imagine. Unless he had seen and heard as I did what yelling, hideous roaring, Apollyon made all the time of the fight. He spoke like a dragon, and on the other side, what sighs and groans burst from Christian's heart. I never saw him all the while give so much one pleasant look until he perceived he had wounded Apollyon with his two-edged sword. What is the two-edged sword? Who knows? The Word of God. Then indeed he did smile and looked upwards, but it wasn't until it was the dreadfulest sight that ever I saw. And so he's depicting the battle that goes on between Christian and the devil. And he tries to paint a picture to fill our imagination that it's not a pretty sight to see. It's not. And if ever you have fought against temptation, if ever you have felt yourself in some kind of attack from the devil, it's not pretty. It is indeed a combat. It is indeed a fight. And the devil's ploy here with Christian was to stop him dead in his tracks. And his whole attempt, as you read the encounter here, the devil's attempt was to get him to turncoat, was to get him to go back, to stop following Christ. And it's not long before we also are engaged in combat with the devil, where we too encounter the devil and where we must make a stand. It's going to happen. So we read from our text, and I'd like to go there this morning from 1 Peter. And these are very vivid words that Peter uses to describe to us the combat, the fight that we're in against the devil when he decides to attack us. And he says to us, be self-controlled and alert. So the idea here is attacks are coming. For heaven's sake, be on guard. That's the idea. Be on guard. Don't let your guard down. Be aware that this is going to happen. Be alert. And then he says, your enemy, the devil. Now, once again, just stop there for a moment. Again, your enemy, the devil. And sometimes it's a hard reality to accept that I have an enemy who is not just merely the personification of evil, of bad things, but he himself is a person, the devil. No way is he in any stretch of the imagination an opposing power to us, to God, we might say, in particular, that is on any kind of equal footing. No, he's God's devil. He's God's devil. And we have to make that clear. Nevertheless, as we're it's made clear to us here, he is our enemy. Our enemy. And he says, of this enemy, he likens him to a lion on the prowl. And he says, he's prowling around. He's prowling around looking for someone to devour. Now, that's strong language. And that's how it is with the devil and with you and with me. He is looking for opportunities to pounce, to come out of the shadows, come out of his lurking, crouching ways, and to sink his, you know, a death blow, you know, a death chomp on me. He really is. He's looking to do that. And he's attempting to stop me dead in my tracks and to get me to turn and to stop being faithful in my following of Christ. The devil, your enemy, the devil. So he says, be on guard. Be on guard. And then he gives us some fighting words. He gives us some fighting words. And these are fighting words. Resist him. Resist him. Very strong language there, resist. So we get a picture here of how it is that we are to fight. Now, I got something else in mind. Maybe next week we'll God willing. Oh, no, we have a baby dedication next week. It might not be too good to talk about that. But it's nice. It's a more happier time, baby dedication. But we will talk about those ways. And we talked about them some last week, about these fighting words, resist. We'll get into a little bit more. But this is what he says, you know, resist him. Take your stand. Again, this is how we fight, by taking a stand against him. And not allowing whatever it is, the attack, the way in which the enemy comes at us in so many different ways. We mentioned some of those ways last week. I tried to use an alliteration. They all started with the letter D, if anybody noticed, to help you remember so that you could whip them off the tip of your tongues this morning. Thank you. And so anyways, that we can, as he says here, stand firm. Stand firm. Whatever way that he attacks us, that we can resist, whatever the temptation is, whatever the doubt is, whatever the decision that may put me in jeopardy of aiding and abetting the enemy in his ways, that I am resisting and able to stand firm. And notice what he says, in the faith. So that given to us is not merely this internal faith that I have, my faith, but there is also given to us this objective weapon of faith, the body of faith, that is to say, and again, connecting Melody's words, of what it is that we believe that becomes a weapon against the enemy when he attacks us. So instead of becoming lion food, we put him to flight by resisting him. How? By standing firm in what? In what we believe. In what we believe. This is the importance of coming to a firm stand in what we believe. He says, because you know that your the rest of your church family throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And that is to say that our engaging in a fight against the enemy is a part of the suffering that we might feel. And it's not a fun thing. One battle or another, and to realize that you're not alone. And this is, in fact, a tactic of the enemy, to try somehow to make you feel as though nobody knows. You know, remember what we used to do years ago? Who knows what this is? Remember, you know, playing, "Oh, how sorry I am for you," you know. And the enemy does a great job at bringing us to this kind of self-pity, which is the devil's babysitter, is self-pity. And, you know, nobody knows what I'm going through. You know, nobody knows and understands, feels my pain, all this. And certainly what you're going through is what you're going through. There's, you know, we don't want to minimize that in any way. At the same time, if he divides and he separates and he gets us to feel that way, but know that you're in good company, that we are together in a fight. And I think that's the idea here. We're together in a fight. Now, all right. I want to look at a few ways. I'll continue to look at a few ways that we continue and encounter the devil when he attacks us. And as you read the Bible, you begin to see that the Bible doesn't teach us merely by abstract principles and formulas, right? We don't see that. It doesn't read like that. You know, the whole Bible doesn't read like the book of Proverbs, right? And it's not just gives us, you know, a bunch of formulas that if you do X plus Y, you'll be guaranteed this outcome. And okay, so, you know, chapter and verse, and there it is, and it all comes together. No, the life lessons come to us like real life in the stories of our lives. And this is what we see in the Bible, that in the stories of the lives of people who lived here, dealt with God, and God dealt with them, there are ways in which they grew, and there are ways in which they encountered the enemy and resisted him, standing firm in the faith. And so we see where, we see how, we see why going on in all of those, ways that stories appeal to us, fill our imagination, inspire us. All of those things that stories do. This is how the Bible was written, right? Captivates our imagination in this way. And so this morning I want to look at a couple of stories, and these kinds of stories that I want to look at this morning help us to live through, and that's the big phrase here, to live through any encounter we might face with the devil. Now, remember last week, you're a target. And so being a target, he's going to pull the trigger. So it's going to happen. Right? That's not a bad omen that I'm pronouncing on anyone. But we as believers, as Christians, need to respond to this word that's confronting us here this morning to be self-controlled and to be alert, that we can engage in the battle that we have been called and equipped to fight. And so I want to look at three stories this morning very quickly. I shouldn't say that. Thank you. I'm going to help Bethany fill up her notebook this morning. But you realize I'm always done at noon, so no matter how long it takes, I'm always done at that time or a couple minutes over. But nonetheless, I want to look at three stories, and of course, each of the stories that I'm going to mention, probably one of them more than the other two, is very familiar to most of us, and each one of them we could look at in particular. But I want to highlight these stories each one of these stories to call our attention to how it is that the devil attacks us, and we're able to encounter him and to stand firm in the faith. Now, in telling these stories, I want to say to you right away that I'm just expounding this text of scripture, because it says resist him how? Steadfast in the faith. And so by I'm taking from the body of faith that we believe in. These three stories, they make up the body of faith that we believe in. And I'm saying that we resist him by standing in this way, like these stories show us. The first, of course, is David and Goliath. Who doesn't know about David and Goliath, right? David and Goliath. I was thinking of a good visual. I was going to have my son Bobby come up here, then have like Sydney stand next to him. You get the picture, right? That's about what it would be like. You know, David was you know, looked upon as just this runt of a guy. And Goliath was pretty darn tall and big. And so that's the first story. The second story, and again, like I say, you may know, but is the story of Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, Acts chapter 5. The first is from David and Goliath, 1 Samuel 17. And then the last story might be familiar to some of you who remember the song that we used to sing, I went to the enemy's camp and took back what he stole from me. How many of you remember that song? Remember we used to do that? Remember that song? Some of you may remember, but that's taken from the story of David and Ziklag. David and Ziklag. And so here we are, these three stories, to demonstrate, once again, something about our enemy, the devil, and our standing against him in the faith. And these three stories represent something precisely of the statement of faith that we adhere to in the Word of God. And so David and Goliath, the first one, David and Goliath. And there is a scene in the story from 1 Samuel 17 when David, goes to the scene of the battle. And when he's there at the scene of the battle, the first thing that happens is David notices and sizes up what's going on, how it is that Goliath has presented himself to the challenge that's made. You know the story. And makes the challenge and intimidating the rest of Israel's warriors, whoever can come out and fight Goliath, whatever team there wins. So if Goliath wins, the Philistines, we win. We subjugate you. If you Israelites, if you come out and you provide someone to kill Goliath, our champion, well, then we will submit to you. You win. You get the trophy. And all of Israel, I think it's that smoke alarm. This is the time you change batteries, right? Right on cue. And so they're all cowering. David shows up on the scene, and he sees this. And he hears Goliath coming out, who of you? Go ahead, take your best shot. Full of confidence. Everybody's cowering. His brothers, David's brothers, say to him, what are you doing here? Shouldn't you be, you have no right. So then David, something continues to rise in this man. Because as though, as small as he was, there was something big going on inside of his life. And he hears and he sees this. And finally, he's brought before the king because word gets out that David says, I'll do it. And for lack, by default, you understand, nobody else is standing up. You know, it's like the Three Stooges. Anybody see the short where, I know, the Three Stooges, where they join the Foreign Legion and they're standing in line. And the guy, the head of the Foreign Legion, whatever he is, says, man, I got an important mission for you. And chances are you won't come back alive, right? Mo and Larry do this. Whoop. And there's Curly. Congratulations. Thank you for volunteering, And it's like all of the warriors in Israel are doing this, But no, we're And but David says, wait a minute, I'll do it. He goes before the king, King Saul. And David is presented to him because Saul, the word gets out and says, we have someone who will take the challenge. He's standing before the king, and the king says, like looking at Sidney, are you kidding me? You know, sizing up what's going on here. And he says to David, you're just a youth. You're too small to meet the big challenge that's in front of you. And David says, with all due respect, wait a minute. He says, I'm going out there, and I'm going out there because this just blows my mind. He says, I know I can handle him because there was a time when I had to go after a lion and a bear that was threatening my father's sheep. And he says, I chased him. Can you imagine? He says, I chased the lion. Now think about, get this picture in your heads. The lion's coming after one of the sheep. David, you know, peeks up and says, holy cow, look what's going on. And he runs after the lion.
Wait a minute. You know, what are you doing?
Now, how many of you know there's got to be something big going on in this young man to go after a lion and a bear? And then it says this. He's chasing him. Now, all well and good. Well, I'm chasing him away from the sheep. And then it says the lion stops and turns. Can you imagine? The lion says to himself, what am I running from? I'm the lion, you know? And then it says this. David's like, oh, I'm so glad you stopped. He grabs him by the mane and he kills him. What an opportunity. David said, thank you for the opportunity to take you out. David relates that story to Saul and he says, because I was equipped there, I can handle him. You understand what I'm saying to you? Goliath, David, and Goliath. And so here's what I want to say to you this morning. Will you get it? You are not too small to deal with the big problems in your life. Will you get it? You are not too small. Okay? You are not too small. It's a famous tactic of the devil to make you feel small and incapable. You'll never get out of this. It'll never be any different for you. This is the way you are. This is the way you were made. Your father was like this. Your mother was like this. You better believe. I just got the dropsies today. You better believe that you will carry on the tradition of being just like them. It didn't work for them. It's not going to work for you. What do you have going for you anyway? And the reality is this, greater is he that is within you than any problem you will ever face. Greater is he, you see? And God has done something in all of our lives that there is no problem too big that I am not able to go out like David did and do him in. Period. This is what I see. And so I'll say it again. You're not too small to deal with whatever the big problem is in your life. You are not too small. So many other things I can say about that story. I'm going to refrain and exercise self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit they're talking with the kids this morning. And I know that because my wife told me she's teaching. The next is Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. This is a tough one here with Ananias and Sapphira. First of all, this is a hard story to see in the New Testament. Okay. If it was in the Old Testament where God is different, that's tongue in cheek, but where God is different than he is in the New Testament, it'd be easier to accept. But this is in the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira, where they make a couple of wrong moves and end up dead. on the spot. Dead. Let's put it this way. They show up at a church service. Everyone's there. And everyone's participating in the church service in a particular way. They step forward one at a time and pretend to be participating in the way everyone else is. Pretend to. And Peter calls them on it and says, "What's going on?" And Ananias, in responding to Peter, says, "Hamana, hamana, 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 hamana," and drops dead. I mean, that's scary. That's scary. Now, here's the deal, all right? What happens to them is this. An attack of the enemy happens. Just like Goliath was an attack of the enemy. And just how it is that the devil, in the case of David and Goliath, the devil takes out his magnifying glass and molehills he makes to look like mountains to us that we can never scale. Here in this situation with Ananias and Sapphira, he worked overtime on them to get them to believe a lie. To believe a lie. And to live a lie. Because all lies that we believe, we tend to live. And the lie was that, you know, you can say one thing and do another and get away with it in God. That's the lie. You can say one thing and call all kinds of witnesses to what you say to appear to be something you're not going to live up to in what you say. And that's a lie. In believing that lie, you live like it. And they began to live like it. And the scripture says, when they came before the Lord, it says, they kept back. They held back for themselves. Instead of giving what the way in which they said they would give, they held it back for themselves. When they were called on it, they said, "Yes, we did." Peter said, "I know differently. You have lied." And something died. I sandwiched this one in the middle because it's the worst one of all. And the devil attempts to hold us back from a full surrender to the Lord. He does. He attacks us to hold back, to believing a lie. And when we do, now there might not be physical death immediately, but when we hold back from surrendering to the Lord, like we know we're supposed to, or like we say we do, something inside our souls dies. It does. It dies within us. And that's a scary thing. And so we have to be so aware of what happened to Ananias and Sapphira and how the devil comes against us to hold back from full surrender to the Lord. Now listen, and I've said this time again, my surrender to the Lord today is going to be greater, I can only hope, and better than what it is tomorrow. As far as I know today, I want it all surrendered. Do you understand? That doesn't mean I'm perfectly surrendered. But something isn't going on inside of me where I'm saying one thing and doing another, at least not intentionally or knowingly. You understand? Because when that kind of thing goes on, you're just ruining something inside your soul. It will die, and you may never get it back. Ananias and Sapphira are proof of that. So I need to be on guard against that kind of thing. Here's the last one. It gets happier. David and Ziklag. In 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel 30. And we have the story there where David is fighting the Lord's battles. Literally, it says he's fighting the Lord's battles. And And so many things are going on in this story, 1 Samuel chapter 30. And let's see here. Let's see what I want you to bring up, if anything. Yeah. No, I'm not going to have you bring it up. You could bring up verse 18 if you want, but no, don't do it. But anyways, how's that for decision making? So anyways, in this story, David's fighting the Lord's battles. He's doing God's work. This is important to know. To know. David's, you know, he's living right. He's doing good stuff, you know. I mean, and this guy David is to be praised. He's recognized. And then it says here that while he's holed up at Ziklag, it says an enemy comes while he's away engaging in all the good stuff and steals everything and everyone. Kidnap. Kids, families, wives, off they go. You understand? Sets up a whole situation here. The enemy comes in. One of the first situations it sets up, and maybe you've said this, boy, you know what? Do I deserve this now, God? I've been going to church. I'm paying my tithes. I'm helping people. You know? And now this has to happen to me? Come on, God. You know? We see that kind of thing set up here. The other thing that happens is the men who are with David, they kind of felt that way. You know what they wanted to do? They wanted to kill David. Here we are, breaking our necks to help you, and look what you caused to happen. And they wanted to kill the guy. Yeah, right there on the spot. So many things that sets up. I'm going for something different, so I'll get to it. Then, David does something. And this is what we must do. It says in verse 6, the end of verse 6, it says, when all this is happening and they come back and see all of this, it says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I want to say to you this morning, you got to get this, because the enemy attacks us. And when he attacks us, he takes. He takes. He's good for nothing, the devil is, except for taking. Jesus called him a what? A thief. And he says he comes to kill, destroy, and to steal. He's good for nothing. He comes to take. And when he attacks us, he's coming after us. He's coming at us to take one thing or another, to steal our faith and not to believe the word. He attacks our kids, and he takes from us what we have invested in our kids. He steals from us, and he takes from us where we should have been responsible in the way in which we have used our money, and he takes it. In so many other ways, I can mention things in which he takes, he takes, he takes. Takes our health from us. And what I want to say to you is this, in closing. There is a strength available to recover everything the devil has stolen from you and to see it restored in your life. The scripture says that here. It says the end of verse 28, in verse 18, it says David recovered everything. David found a strength in the Lord. He found a strength in the Lord, and he went after the enemy and took back everything the enemy stole from him, everything. And I want to say to you this morning that there is a strength available in the Lord to go after everything the Lord has stolen from us, everything. However it is that you feel ripped off, wherever it is that you feel stolen from. You know, there are bad things that happen to us. And we feel as though, you know, I lost this from my life and I can never get it back. You can get it back. That's a lie. No, you can get it back. That's a lie. You know? I made this bad decision, and it set in, you know, domino effect, and the devil's take advantage of it, and it's gone. It's not gone. You can go get it. You made a bad decision, you can make a good one. You can make a good one. Amen. And every good one cancels out 10 times every bad one you made because of his redemption. There is strength in the Lord. You understand? There's strength in the Lord. We find this strength in the Lord. And we're able to go after these things. Where I've given in to negativity. I've given in to doubt. Where I've become careless. This is a plug for Bobby and Allison's small group. Careless in the use of my money. And having become careless in the use of my money, you know, I'm able to go after that and use the weaponry of Dave Ramsey to make good again the finances that God wants to bless me with and bless others through my life with. So I'm able to go after it. There's a strength there to go after it. Do you hear what I'm saying to you this morning? And however it is that you feel about yourself, that self-image that God has stolen from you and caused a fear and a weakness in your life. You know, and has stolen from you a self-confidence. Stolen from you a self-confidence. You know, and you just feel as though always shrinking. You know, never able to measure up. Wrong. Not true. There's a strength there available to show you just who you are because of what he has done for you. I'm telling you, this is the way it works. And so there it is, how to live through encounters with the devil. He attacks David and Goliath, right? You ever feel that way? How overwhelming this situation is, right? You know? You know what I'm talking about, Brian, right? You know? How overwhelming. And what a tremendous thing that though it's big, and I may be small in comparison, there's something big going on inside of me. That's what counts. That's what counts. You know? That's what counts. That's what counts. Let's stand together. I'm done. Be encouraged this morning. And so however, whatever has maybe spoken to you this morning, allow it to sink in. Allow God to say something to you through, okay? And allow it to happen right now, that before you leave, before we say amen. And I want to pray, and this morning, before we leave, I want to offer time of prayer. I want to pray especially. I've got a couple of prayer requests I know of and some things going on where some people's lives. You know, Sandy Tooker, who is here, has a job situation, right? Reshifting, reorganizing. Which may be, you know, it's like, where's my job in the reorganizing of this thing, you know? Scary time. And we need to pray with Sandy this morning. That God will give her peace. And I know a couple of others of you, a job situation that you need to have peace in. The peace of God. Isn't that an amazing thing? That whatever situations we find ourselves in, when God speaks a peace to us, the circumstances don't have to change, but everything is okay.
That's right. He's beautiful for situations.
You know what I'm saying? It's an awesome thing. So we want to pray for these couple of things that I know are going on this morning, work-related, and believe God to intervene. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning I pray that you would grant us grace. And I prophesy this morning to every person here that in one way or another is feeling beat up by the devil. And for every person here who's feeling the thick of it, our young people, tempted as Christian was in our story, Pilgrim's Progress, to turn tail and to give up on following Christ, Father, I pray for each one of us this morning that a new sense of strength will come upon them to resist the enemy. Hallelujah. In this way.
Hallelujah.
God, keep them, I pray. For all of these words, Lord, how you want them to sink into our lives and how it is that we can resist and stand firm in our faith. Help us, Holy Spirit, to do that. Pray for these situations, Lord, that I know of, the couple of situations among us with work. And Lord, we pray for Sandy. Just lay your hands on Sandy there, a couple of you. Please, lay your hands on her. Identify with her. Lord, that right now, a measure of strength and peace to Sandy and to others in our fellowship, Lord, who are struggling with situations related to their job. God, that you will speak peace, that you give them clarity. Lord, that they will know that you are at work with them and fighting for them in these situations. We ask for your help, Lord. We ask for your help, Lord. We ask for your help, Lord. And Father, especially this morning as well, we pray special blessing upon Rosario and Stacy, Lord, who are celebrating birthdays this day. We pronounce birthday blessings upon their lives in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, God bless you.